In studio, it is Wednesday night, so that means AD Quigg and Heather Sharon are here from the Daily Line. They cover all things city, county, and state when it comes to politics. And, of course, we are in the throes, the final stretch, the final week of the primary election that started, I don't know, back in 2002. Feels like it. AD Quigg, Heather Sharon, good to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
All right, so we have to start. We had the running joke that we were always ending with the assessor's race, and we were always bumping it. Last week, we rectified that. But again, it rises to the top.
It got crazier, which I didn't think was possible.
Today, interesting that the caveat was that one of the candidates was not going to be on the ballot, so disregard her name. If you voted for it, didn't count. But a judge jumps in today and changes. Three judges.
Yeah, it was an appellate court decision. And they jumped in today and said, actually, Andrea Rayla is a valid candidate. All the votes that might have been cast for her in these past few weeks of early voting and mail-in ballots will count. They basically said that the hearing officer in the earlier case put too much weight on an affidavit from a circulator, and that Rayla did notarize some things improperly, but we shouldn't toss out thousands and thousands of her signatures, and she should be allowed on.
Right. Who is this? Who does this help? Who does this hurt?
A lot of people are saying that it hurts Fritz Kagi, because basically Rayla and Kagi would be splitting the anti-Berrios vote. I asked Fritz Kagi about this earlier this week, before we knew that Rayla was going to be off, and I said, even if people vote for Rayla, regardless of her being on the ballot or not, does that take away from you or does it take away from Berrios? And he said, I think it goes both ways. So he is still confident. He said, my polling shows I'm still winning with a 3-person race. But I think general opinion would be,
Both of you the question with Rayla, did she suspend her campaign knowing that this was not going to count? I mean, she lost valuable time. This has not been something that was a day and then the next day it was. This was weeks in the making. She really got a raw deal in the sense that, she probably didn't put full throttle into a campaign that she didn't think she was even doing.
No, she didn't. And she didn't have the kind of money that Berrios and Kagi had in the first place. So she wasn't out doing mailers, doing a ton of TV or anything like that. She didn't have a ton of money in the first place. But after this, it was basically completely stalled, and she lost her campaign treasurer as well briefly, which meant that she couldn't raise money. Plus, she was sinking a ton of this money into the objection challenge. I mean, it costs a ton of money to defend your petition, so she's been really hobbled.
And let's not forget that papers were being handed out to voters at the polls, at early voting polls, saying, go ahead, vote for Andrea Rayla, but it's not going to count.
Right.
So, that tends to stick in people's heads that, there's something hinky with her, so I'm not going to consider her, which, if she is a valid candidate, like you said, she got a pretty raw deal.
Yeah, we've had more than 100,000 early votes and mail-in ballots already sent out.
I can't think of any recourse. I mean, I don't know if there's lawsuits that she could file against people of Illinois. I don't know
what
it would be.
That's what her attorney wants. Right. Her attorney wants apologies from everyone, wants Cook County and the city to pay for ads that say she is a valid candidate. I doubt that will happen. Right. There's only 6 days left. So she's got to, I think, milk today's news for all it's worth and say, hey, I'm not one percenter Fritz Kagi and I'm not Boss Berrios.
She has such a limited amount of time to get her NRA ad together for the assessor's race.
Right.
It's really behind the
eight
ball.
That's really the big issue in the assessor's race.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we talked about some of the county races this is the one.
The
I mean, because they're really
race.
The others have kind of fizzled out. I mean, there are some races, the Cook County commissioners, that might be closer than we think, but all eyes are on the Cook County assessor's race, which is not usually the case. I mean, this really is a race that you get to the fifth or sixth.
But it's so important. It's such an important race. This is the guy that values your properties. This is the guy or woman that tells you how much you owe every year. And this is what Bruce Rauner has been saying is driving people out of Illinois, high property taxes.
Joe Berrios, also the incumbent who's running in this race, he got bad news today as they ruled as well. I think it was a court that said that they couldn't overturn the ethics portion of how much money you could raise in campaign financing. It's very convoluted, but it just seems that the courts are already in this race more than you'd want them to be before a primary challenge.
Yeah, a court ruled Joe Berrios was basically fighting to keep some donations that he was getting from property tax attorneys that were in excess of what the ethics board rules is okay in an election year. And they ruled against him, which is not great because the Tribune analysis found $4 out of $5 coming into Berrios' campaign come from property tax attorneys.
Now, he is going to appeal. This is the part of this story that I find fascinating in the way that he's going to appeal
again
so he can just, because he only has 6 more days. And then it's over, and then he can be like, oh, I'm sorry.
Here's the money back. I don't need it anymore.
I don't need it anymore.
Yeah, ask for forgiveness, right. Not for permission.
Right, right. Well, right now, I mean, as there's so much to talk about tonight, and I think a nice transition right now, the candidates on the Democratic side for governor are debating on WTTW. They're going back and forth. They've been doing this, obviously.
That's Tyler Chatwood, who likely
hold on one second.
Fits in as the number five. That's sure. Tyler Chatwood.
Here we go. Get rid of sports there.
Sorry, sports.
Okay, so the issue being that today the Chicago Tribune puts out an investigation, really a J.B. Pritzker offshoring money to hide it from taxes. Not what you want on your record right before a Democratic primary, not especially when everyone is running against you being a 1% type candidate.
Yeah, and you know, J.B. Pritzker has said from the beginning that these offshore trusts were created long before he was born, that he takes no, you know, profit from them, that any money generated from these trusts have been sent directly to his charitable foundation, which, you know, as he's pointed out, does lots of good work all over the city, especially with early childhood education. However, the Tribune found that that does not appear to be the case, and that these trusts were set up far more recently than he has led people to believe. Pritzker has, you know, denied the Tribune's findings, saying that he didn't do anything unethical or wrong. What's interesting is that this documentation was part of the Panama Papers leak that the Tribune was able to dig into and sort of source these, you know, trusts, which are purposefully obscured under layers and layers of, you know, basically dummy corporations. And the Tribune was able to say, well, no, this corporation is actually run by JB's brother, who's also a part of, you know, this and that. So it's really a fascinating.
And also red meat for other candidates in this race. And it's playing out in the debate tonight that everyone seems to have found a way, whatever the question is, they just turn it to, well, let's talk about this story that was in the Tribune, JB. But this is not the right time for this story, and it's not the first time that JB Pritzker has been taken on by the Chicago Tribune. They're the ones with the wiretap tapes and the Blagojevich. They're the ones with the, was a story about ripping out toilets and the
that's right, and his
to get a property quotes. Tax break.
Yeah.
Property taxes are important, guys.
But this is, I mean, there is definitely, beyond the relationship between the paper and JB Pritzker, there is definitely a storyline that is emerging, or at least that is as being created, of JB Pritzker in a long line of doing things to get less tax or levied against him.
Well, I think even beyond that, J.B. Pritzker essentially refused to talk about this issue with the Tribune. The Tribune had to basically ambush him at an event in Champaign-Urbana and, you know, basically demand that he answer these questions after his campaign had refused to sort of respond in detail. And what's interesting from my perspective as a reporter is that that's something Democrats have been very critical of Bruce Rauner for doing, is not having availability, not being transparent.
Right, right.
And I, you know, that certainly raises, you know, Daniel Biss's main argument against Pritzker is that, you know, is Illinois preparing to change one out of touch billionaire for another out of touch billionaire? And that plays into that whole, you know, sort of, you know, soft spot that Pritzker may have in a general election. Well,
Heather Sharone, 80 Quig in studio from the Daily Line, covering all things city, state, and of course state politics, city, county, and state. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back and let's talk about the hearings for the O'Hare renovation are coming up. Ives and Rauner about misrepresentation. There's still some stuff to talk about. We're only 6 days away.
Six days.
Stay with us. Heather Sharone and 80 Quig from the Daily Line in studio. We're talking all things politics tonight. Of course, the gubernatorial primary coming up here on Tuesday on the Republican side. A lot being made from the newspapers as well about the what they perceive to be the misrepresentation of Jeannie Ives in Governor Rauner attack ads. And we've been saying this, I've been saying this since the get-go. I just don't understand how it's just essentially a bold-faced lie that Jeannie Ives is mad against. Maybe she is his preferred candidate because, you know, he thinks he can win. But to say that Mike Madigan and Jeannie Ives are buddies, or and then use clips of her saying the word Madigan, it is disingenuous, and it's being called out by the political circles. It's surprising.
It is, because you know, Rahner is by any definition far more centrist than Jeannie Ives is, and her whole campaign was born out of Rahner's decision to sign a bill that permitted state funds to be used for abortion. The right wing of the Illinois Republican Party saw that as a deep and personal betrayal, and Jeannie Ives took up that, you know, sort of banner to avenge that wrong. So for Rahner to suggest that somehow Madigan would be happier with Ives in the governor's seat when she has said that she would not have signed that bill, and that, you know, she thinks that, you know, Rahner essentially should be tossed out of office for it, is just it boggles the
it does
the,
yeah, it
or
boggles
that they're mind. Even close to each other ideologically is just
yes
yeah crazy. And it blows my mind, mostly because, you know, I was Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein and others saying, you know, the reason they do attack ads is because they work. This idea that attack ads come out and I sit in this chair and I scratch my head going, who's going to believe that? And there are polling and data, and they know that they're going after maybe an uninitiated voter who just sees Madigan, and they don't care about what they're not making a decision till this weekend.
Right.
And those ads are going to run like crazy
and
this weekend.
And it sticks somewhere in their mind that somehow Ives has become linked with Madigan, and they couldn't even really articulate it.
Right.
If you ask them, in just, well, I don't like Madigan, and, you know, I heard that Ives and Madigan might be in cahoots against Rahner.
Right.
So, you know, also people try, you know, find evidence to justify what they're going to do.
Let me ask you these just real quick. Does obviously both of these parties in 6 days' time are going to have a nominee for the general. This has been a tough primary election. It's been 10 months, a year's time.
Yeah,
on the Republican side, oh my gosh. I mean, they seem to be at odds in the fact that some suggest on the conservative side they won't support Governor Rahner if he does win the nomination. I mean, do you see them coming together when this is over, having a little pancake breakfast in honor of Judy Bartopinka and being like, hey, you know, let's all
everyone
come
puts
together.
On their red
yeah,
suits,
yeah. So. Everyone says, let's come together. Let's bring the party back together. Or is this fractured?
I mean, it's going to be difficult for the Republicans because Jeannie Ives' campaign has been so brutal and so personal. It's not, hey, I would do things differently and better. It's Rahner is Benedict Arnold and should be drawn, quartered, and run out of town on a rail. And you spend, you know, 3 months saying that often enough, and it gets harder to sort of paper over those differences once the election is over.
Right, and also we should remember that Bruce Rahner kind of forced a lot of Republicans in the General Assembly into litmus tests throughout the past year, which ticked a lot of people off. And Democrats, it's not like there isn't infighting with Democrats, too. We're having like a lot of machine versus reform,
right?
Big money versus small donation. It's a very divisive time. I think both parties are kind of facing the outer edges. And there are a lot of voters who are attracted to those outer edges.
Starting Wednesday, there'll be at least a reprieve. But to think about this blows my mind that the municipal election is coming up here in, I guess, February of 2019.
Yeah.
And that's not that far away. And, you know, you'll start to have a shift a little bit to look at what's going to happen with the alderman and, of course, the mayor here in Chicago. The O'Hare expansion renovation plan, the hearings start tomorrow. This is a small story that was the rah-rah for the mayor, but there are some things in there that, of course, fairness with the airlines, we heard about that. But the more important thing that always play in Chicago politics is minority hiring.
Who is getting paid? That is the, you know, always the A number one question of Chicago politics. And what's interesting, we talked a little bit about this last time I was here, that this is sort of, you know, $8.5 billion. So this is big, big money. And I spoke today with Alderman Gilbert Villegas, who said, look, these deals don't come around once every 20 years. They come around once every 50 years. So this is, you know, if aldermen are going to get something to take back to their constituents to run in February, this is the time where they have
right.
to show
Do you think the mayor is savvy enough? I mean, they
of
always
course.
Talked about Mayor
oh,
Daley being
out.
Savvy and giving enough for people. So is he going to be savvy knowing this will be an issue with the airport?
Well, the Black Caucus and the Latino Caucus came out immediately and they were like, we are going to stop this unless we get what we want. So I think the message came through loud and clear, and he's going to figure out how to work in more minority contracting on construction, on bonding, on a little bit of everything so that this thing sales through, because part of the O'Hare thing is attracting Amazon.
You know, we're going to be talking about the municipal election ad nauseum coming up, but two polls out this week saying that Mayor Emanuel, who has been somewhat unpopular, is a little less unpopular in the sense that they're coming out saying he's not as his unfavorables have gotten better.
It might be better to say he went from being toxic to slightly less
and the same number of people fatal. The same number of people that didn't like him before still don't like him. It's still 57% who want someone else, but that someone else hasn't really emerged.
I mean here we go. We saw Neil Sales Griffin, a great entrepreneur here in town, step up. But I mean, are there any rumblings that anybody else will step up to say, I'm going to be that candidate that takes on Mayor Rahm Emanuel?
Well, I think a lot of the political energy right now is focused on the state and the county elections. So a lot, you know, of the, you know, campaign consultants and treasurers and money is sort of being sucked up into that right now. Once we know, you know, who is going to be running for governor and sort of how those races will shake out, then I think people are going to take a breath, have a couple of stiff drinks and say, okay, let's start thinking about 2019.
Who's got money left?
Who's got money left?
Well,
It kind of hurts that Pritzker's running himself because he used to be the guy with the money.
Right. But we can't forget about Troy LaRavier, who already, he's a well-known principal in the city, has already kind of struck out and said, I'm definitely running in 2019. That hasn't exactly lit up. There's also a lot of rumblings this week about Lori Lightfoot, who is the police board president. She was kind of a public face of police reform this week because the Grassroots Alliance for Police Accountability came out with a report saying, here's what we should do about community oversight. And Lori Lightfoot was kind of the lead question taker at that press conference rolling that out. So there was some rumblings about that.
Well, okay, so we'll pay attention to that. Heather Sharon and A.D. Quigg from the Daily Line here tonight with us every Wednesday. So we'll hear from you guys election night as we do our broadcast here, and as well as right after. You guys got to come in. We got to do a big thing on Wednesday to just figure out what happened.
Break it all down.
Great to have you guys. See you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.